You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's Live Talk. I'm your host, Keith Martin. Today, we will be speaking with Salvador Sambuntello, Chairman of Classification and Records for the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. In this role, Mr. Buontello is responsible for overseeing the intake, processing, and assignment of offenders sentenced to the Institutional Division of the Department of Criminal Justice. In addition, he performs numerous duties in the department's Security Threat Group Management Office, where he served as Assistant Director for 6 years. Mr. Buontello is also a charter member and executive board member of both the National Major Gang Task Force and the Texas Violent Gang Task Force. He also serves as a consultant on prison gang issues for the National Institute of Corrections. Mr. Buontello will discuss some of these issues with us today. Welcome to today's Live Talk, Sam.
Thank you, Keith.
Good to have you here. First, I want to talk about an obvious topic that people think of when they first think of gangs and STGs, and that's terrorism and the impact of September 11, 2001. Can you discuss the impact of that date on security threat groups and prisons, both on a national level and from your own experience in Texas?
Well, obviously, 9/11 had a tremendous impact on us as a correctional agency. As a direct impact, we haven't seen a whole lot of activity with the security threat groups since that date, but we've had to change our way of looking at the offenders and looking at the different groups. What we found, obviously after 9/11, we went back into our populations and we started to discover that we had quite a few offenders that were residences or were native to countries that were known to sponsor terrorism. Mm-hmm. And so we had to look at these offenders. And a lot of these offenders were close to being released into the community. So from that perspective, we did start to see an impact. We started to have to monitor these offenders. We had to start looking at trying to get staff that could actually understand the language and interpret the language for us. Mm-hmm. So the potential for harm is there. We do see that we do have some of these offenders from those countries that espouse terrorism, and consequently we are looking at that. We have had to rechange our focus from a different perspective. You know, it's no longer just about gangs. It's also about extremists and terrorism.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I guess really woke people up, and we talked about this last week, was the case of Jose Padilla and the dirty bomb case and how his connection to street gangs.
And that's a good point. That if you talk to terrorism experts from across the country, they would tell you one of their major concerns is the recruitment going on in the prison system. Mm. Generally, you have individuals that can recruit in prison because they seem to be the offenders there that are easier to recruit than out in the community. And Padilla is a good example of that. You have street gangs and other individuals that are willing to do these things. So the experts out in the field understand this concern. We understand it's a concern, and so we are definitely monitoring those kind of things. And I don't think that's going to be the exception. Padilla will not be the exception to this situation.
Definitely, yeah, I agree. Now, in terms of management techniques, what are some of the gang and STG techniques that you are using in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice that you guys are finding especially helpful in managing this population?
Well, there are several different things that we do that we feel help us. And the first thing that we try to stress is that you can't approach it just from one perspective. Obviously, we monitor all correspondence going from offenders to offenders and from offenders out to the community. We have the ability to monitor and record all visits that take place between offenders and their visitors, because we know that there's a lot of information that is being passed from the community into the prisons and vice versa from visits. We are definitely working to monitor and to network with outside law enforcement agencies. That's probably one of our biggest management techniques, is to be able to do that in an effective manner, because it doesn't do any good if we can't get the information where it needs to be.
Definitely. In terms of this information and in terms of sharing information, how do you all in Texas manage all of the information on gang members, the various members, the various tattoos, and symbols, their enemies, their affiliates, things like that? How do you keep track of all that information?
Well, Keith, recently we received a governor's grant to create a database for our gangs. And this database, we call it the TAGIT system, T-A-G-I-T, which stands for the Texas Anti-Gang Information Tracking System. And in this system, it's an internet-based, where we have our information on this database, and it's available to law enforcement free. And what that allows them to do is to be able to query our database to get information that they need on a day-to-day basis. If they are looking for a specific perpetrator who's been involved in an incident, if they know a nickname, if they have a description of a tattoo, if they know what race he is, just certain things, they can then query and reduce the number of possible suspects, which has helped tremendously. We've gotten a great response as of, it's been in effect for about the last 4 months, and we have over 500 law enforcement personnel that are part of this system. Wow. It continues to grow, because you can query in lots of different ways, so that has helped quite a bit for us.
That's great. Now, in terms of, you mentioned networking earlier, and it comes up again in this database. How important is it to share the information that you have and to have the ability to get information from other law enforcement, public safety agencies? How important is that when you're looking at the gang or security threat group problem?
I can't stress enough, and if you talk to the people out in the field, the experts, the West Dailies, and some of the other people, they would tell you that the information is useless unless you get it to where it needs to be. We constantly communicate with outside law enforcement agencies, with other correctional agencies across the country, with probation, parole, with the schools, to get the information where it needs to be. And a lot of times in our business, you only hear about the bad things that happened, but you don't ever hear about the things that were stopped or prevented,
right,
by the ability to network. A good example, we managed to stop a couple of, actually two automatic weapons were brought into one of our prisons.
Wow.
A while back, and the information, the networking between law enforcement, when they had an informant to give them the information to come to us to get that before anyone got hurt, is the way it's supposed to work. It's paramount. You cannot do anything unless you share that information. And we try to stress that quite a bit in our training, in our seminars. Anything we have is available to anyone else if it uses it, they can use it to their advantage.
That's great information for our audience. And if you're just joining us, we are talking to Sam Buontello. He's the chairman of classification and records for the Security Threat Group Management Office, involved with the Security Threat Group Management Office in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. I want to return, Sam, to a point you made a little bit earlier when we were talking about terrorism, and that's prisons as a fertile recruiting ground for new gang members. How do you prevent that from happening in Texas, and can you totally prevent it in a prison environment?
I'm not so sure, Keith, that you can totally prevent it, but that doesn't mean we should not try to get to that goal. You always have some offenders that have a sense of belonging, that will want to try to belong. A lot of the offenders that come into the system never really belong to anything, and so they make the perfect individual to recruit for some of these groups.
Right.
And so consequently, what we try to do is we get them involved in different things, from work for jobs, from school, vocational, technical, educational. We try to keep them as busy as we can with some tools that will help them when they get out. Now, we also do orientation at our intakes to describe and explain to the offenders that if you join a gang, these are all the bad things that will happen to you or could happen to you. It affects your housing, it affects your release date, it affects your family, it could affect your life depending on if you make the wrong decision. And these are the good things that if you don't join a gang that you're available to, that you can apply for. So all those things, we try to hit them from different perspectives to let them know that they have to understand that there are some repercussions if you do that. Another option, another avenue that we go after is the family groups. There are different, most states have these inmate family associations. We go to these family associations and we describe to them, look, if your son or daughter joins a gang, these are all the bad things that can happen. And we pass out brochures with common questions that people have regarding gangs in our system so that they can take that with them, understand what's going on, and then there's a number there that they can call this office and we can describe or we can help them if they have any they need any clarification. But we know that they're more apt to listen to their family members than they are us.
Right.
And when we can convince the family members that the dire situation these people are getting into, it's made a difference where these people will say, you know what, maybe I need to try to get away from that.
Definitely.
So that's one way we've done that.
Yeah, it's great. It's good to get that information out firsthand. So, like you said, they know what is ahead of them. In terms of those who are already involved in gangs and they're coming in, and maybe they have been in prison for a given amount of time and they want out of the gang, how difficult is it to get out of a gang when you're incarcerated? And are there any programs in Texas that you have that, where they can renounce their gang ties and make steps towards their, those more positive things that you mentioned?
Keith, most prison gangs have a rule that says that once you're in, you're always in for life, which
right.
means that, you know, if you try to defect or renounce, that they'll put a contract on you, they'll try to hurt you. But we have found that a lot of offenders want to get out of the gangs if given an opportunity to do so and not be put back in the same environment that we took them out of. We've created what we call a gang renunciation and disassociation program, which is called GRAD for short, and where we monitor offenders who have renounced their membership. When they come forward to us and say, I no longer want anything to do with gangs, we then monitor them until the gang officer on the unit is convinced this person is sincere. And at that point, then we would then enroll them into this gang renunciation program. It's a 9-month course where they will learn different things to get them ready to get assimilated back into the population. They'll learn about anger management. They'll learn about the fallacies of why they join gangs. They'll learn cognitive skills so that they see that there's more than just gang activity. Once they've successfully completed this program, then we will assign those offenders to facilities that we feel are very minimal gang activity.
Right.
And we have, up to this date, approximately 275 offenders who have gone through the program, and I can say that not one of those offenders has been hurt, and not one of those offenders have gone back to the gangs.
That's great.
And we feel very good. In fact, the director and several legislators have gone so much as to give me the go-ahead to double the program. It's been so successful.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's great. That's definitely something that corrections as a field can do to make a difference in the gang and security threat group issues. We've talked about a number of things today, both in terms of what you're doing in Texas and what's being done nationally. From your own experience, what are some other steps that correctional agencies can take to both manage gang activity and avoid the spread of that activity in their prisons, no matter their geography or where they are? What are some things that they can do, some basics maybe?
I think the first thing is that they have to be proactive. Mm-hmm. And they have to recognize the potential for violence. Too many times in corrections, we are dictated or we act after something has happened. And sometimes that's because of the funding or whatever the case may be. But we have to take a proactive step. And there are things that you can do, I think, or states can do, and correctional agencies, that will help minimize some of that. Obviously, there has to be a validation system in place to where people can be identified as to belonging to a group. If you don't have a validation system, it's hard to do anything from that point on. If you want to set something up, you've got to know what you're dealing with. Mm. I think the very second thing is you have to do training and awareness for all your staff. That goes from the correction officer working the cell block to your school teachers to your people that work in central administration. They all have to understand the dangers and how these gangs work. And lastly, I think that the big thing would be sharing that information, both internally and externally. If you don't share that information internally, obviously you get different groups not knowing what they're dealing with. That causes problems. And externally, the law community has to know what's going on, because if you don't, you put yourself in a very bad situation of letting things happen, which none of us want. So I think from my perspective, those are the big things that people need to look at. You got to be proactive. You got to go after a validation system. You got to do training and make people aware, and you've got to network and share that information.
Those are some fantastic points for our audience, and actually leads us in a good place to conclude today's Live Talk. That does conclude today's Live Talk. Thank you to Sam Buentello of the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for joining us today. Sam, thank you so much. This was very valuable.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you to our audience as well. Now, for more information on gangs and security threat groups in corrections, be sure to read this week's articles on corrections.com. And also join us in November as corrections.com takes a look at numerous legal issues from the past year that have impacted the field. For CCNN, I'm Keith Martin.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.